But she is the glue that keeps him together at the office. One of the things, or I should say two of the things that I have really come to appreciate about Barb is her faithfulness and her loyalty. And she is just one person that we could not do without. So I give you Barb Choate.
It's been a beautiful morning this morning. I drove into the Glen and I thought, now this is the kind of day you want to be here at Glen Eyrie at a conference. This is just a gorgeous day. Well, as Carol mentioned, I was born in Nebraska, and I often tell the story that when I started school as a kindergartner, I went to a one-room schoolhouse. My two older brothers, it was probably about 30 kids in the school, kindergarten through eighth grade. But when I turned six, my dad decided to accept an engineering job, and so he loaded all of our belongings in a livestock truck, is the story I hear. And moved to Chicago. Can't you imagine this livestock truck driving into a suburb of Chicago with all of our belongings in it? But I just share that to, even though I grew up very much in suburban Chicago, my family came from rural roots, and so it really affected our family background. So my parents very much instilled in us very traditional rural-type values of hard work and honesty and high moral standards, that type of thing. And part of our lifestyle was going to church on Sunday. And that's really all it was. It was just on Sunday you go to church. And we went regularly. I probably didn't miss hardly any Sundays all my childhood, and I went to Sunday school. But I really didn't know, church really did not really affect our life Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. It's just what we did on Sundays. And I think as I look back on my childhood, I had a yearning to know God. One example of this was when I was in junior high in my church. We, on Saturday mornings, all the junior high kids went to these classes to prepare to become a member of the church. And I went every Saturday morning faithfully. And we got done with that year of those classes, and I thought, you know, there must be something more than what I've gotten out of these classes. I mean, I enjoyed them. I was there every week. But there just seemed to be something missing. And I didn't know what it was. But I remember we got a new minister or pastor in our church that summer. And so I thought, well, maybe it'll be different next year. I went through it the whole next year again, voluntarily. And but again, there was still an emptiness at the end of that time, thinking there I must be missing something. And I remember years later, I went back and was looking through some of the materials one time that we went through, and I realized that at the end of that time, I got up in front of the church and said, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But I didn't have a clue what those words meant. I mean, I was shocked when I realized that I'd even said that. I just did not, somehow that totally passed by me what I was saying. But by this time, my older brother had already left home and was in the military, and he had become a Christian. And through his influence, I attended a conference right here at Glen Eyrie. Seems like a lot of us up front this conference have been saying that we've had very special times in our lives here at the Glen. And I hope this has been a special time for you in getting a few days away. And but the Glen is very special to me because it was right out on the lawn outside when you walk up to the castle that during that conference I sat down with my counselor and for the first time understood that I needed to make a response to the facts of the gospel. You know, I had always grown up believing that Jesus died on the cross for my sin and that Jesus raised from the dead. I just didn't know that I was supposed to do something about that. That was news to me that week that I was here. So it was here that I committed my life to Christ, and that finally became clear to me. You know, my outward life and behavior probably didn't change a lot. I was one of those high school kids that all parents dream of having. You know, I kind of did everything right and, you know, wasn't causing any problems. So a lot of my outward behavior didn't change, but my inward motivations of why I was doing things changed. And I had a renewed desire to get to know God again. That had sort of waned during my high school years because it just didn't make sense to me before this. And I wanted to get to know the Bible. I don't know what I did all those years in Sunday school growing up, but I did not have any grasp of the Bible whatsoever. I remember the first time I read through the book of Genesis, after finishing it, my thought was, what could be in all the rest of the Old Testament. I mean, I've read about Noah and Abraham, and it's kind of like I didn't even realize, there was David and Moses. And, I had such no grasp of even the common Bible stories. So I don't know what we did in Sunday school all those years, but I had a desire to learn the Bible and to want to see what it had to say to me. I think there's a lot of things I could share about my life and how God has been special to me through the years. Selva last night shared about how God has continually revealed himself to her as being her rock. And I was thinking, if there was one theme that has been true over my life, the thought that immediately came to my mind was his goodness, God's goodness to me. And I look back over my life and there's those special verses that he's used at specific times, but generally the theme was his goodness. When I thought back in my early years and when I lived in New England, was a verse in Psalm 27. It says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Or at another time in my life, a verse that I remember is from Psalm 31, verse 19, where it says, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast stored up for those who fear thee, which thou hast wrought for those who take refuge in thee before the sons of men. So that's been a theme that God has continually encouraged me with over the years. But I thought, since I am currently in a secretarial role, like most of you that are here, I thought I'd share just a couple quick thoughts on some of my perspectives on that. And, there's so many things I could share. It was hard to pick out. But I really enjoy my job. How many of you really enjoy the jobs that you have? I hope many of you do. I really do. And I think, why is that? It's not because we don't have days that are frustrating, days that we feel pressured. But I think I enjoy my job because I'm convinced that it's where God has me. And this is his ministry for me right now. It's not just a job. It is my ministry. I think another thread I've seen over my life is that I've always had a desire to help people. I studied nursing in college, as Carol mentioned, and I think that was part of that desire. I wanted to help people. And I loved nursing when I was in college, and it was a very major lordship commitment for me to think about doing anything other than being a nurse during those years. That had been my lifelong dream since I was a little girl. But as I started to grow in my relationship with the Lord during my college years, God quickly gave me a desire to want to help people with their spiritual needs, not only their physical needs. And it was just a joy to begin to grow myself in my Christian life, and then to be able to pass that on to other students that I was living around and going to school with. And I think now in my role, I'm still in a role of helping people. It's probably a little more focused, involved in helping Terry and Carol and the team that I work with, in helping them to be effective in what God has called them to do. I think, as I mentioned, I very much see what I'm doing as being in ministry, just as much as when I was out on college campuses ministering to girls, leading Bible studies and helping them to learn how to share their faith. I see what I do now when I go in and turn on my computer in the morning and answer the phone, that I'm still very much doing what God has called me to do, and that makes it an important ministry. Often, and I think this is the way that the body functions together. God gives gifts each one of us differently, and as we function together in the body of Christ, it's a beautiful thing when we work together, and that's what I see that I'm doing. The part that we hold as secretary sometimes is very behind the scenes. We don't always get credit for what we do. We, for instance, might do research, pull together information for some type of report, and the pastor or the man that we work for takes it to the meeting, and it's his report. And yet we know that we've done a lot of the work in preparing it. But to me, that is part of that teamwork of working together. I was thinking about the church that I attend here in the spring, since most of you are church secretaries. It's a rather large church. We probably have over 1,000 people that attend on Sunday mornings, 3 services. You know, I realized that I do not even know who the secretaries are in my church. I know their names, and just in the I've been attending there about 3 years, and just in the last couple of months, I finally have gotten a name and a face with 2 of the secretaries that work in the office. And I thought, now, isn't that a typical example? That's the role that many of you are in, especially in a large church. A small church, you are probably the center of so much of what happens. Everyone knows who you are. In a large church, that may not necessarily be so. And just recently, we had an insert in our bulletin that had a picture and the names of all the staff, the pastors, and the elders and deacons. I realized the names of the secretaries were not even listed on that piece of paper. And I thought, that's an example. Sometimes we serve behind the scenes and are not always known. But what I see that we do is being a load lifter. That's a word that I like to use to describe what I do. And just a couple examples in Scripture as I close that I thought of is, one is, remember the story back in Exodus 17 where Joshua is down in the valley fighting the Amalekites and Moses is up on the hill holding his hands up? And, you know, when his hands got tired and he began to put them down, the battle did not go well for Joshua. It's a familiar story. But remember, Moses' arms got very heavy. And Aaron and Hur came along and helped hold up his hands. I thought, now that's a picture of what I think we do as secretaries. We are helping to hold up the hands of the men and the pastors or that people that we are serving. We're helping them to do what God has called them to do, and only they can do. But we can help and bring support to that. Then I also thought of the common passage in Acts 6, where the church was growing rapidly. There were many coming to the Lord day by day. But some of the physical needs were not being met. The widows were not being attended to. And they chose out Stephen and the other men as deacons to take care of those administrative needs. And I thought, well, that's another example of what we do as secretaries. And it's interesting, I turned to Acts 6, you know, and I thought of that passage. I thought, well, Stephen, you know, we all remember Stephen, but I thought, you know, I don't even know the names of the other people. And I looked up and I thought, yes, you know, again, they were serving behind the scenes. But I think it, the main thing that one of the things I should say that I remember is that to ask myself the question is, who am I serving? I realize I'm not serving Terry and Carol. I'm not serving the pastor, the church, or the church as a whole. But I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ in the role that I have. And to me, there's no greater privilege than serving the Lord and being, as we've been talking about this week, being a fragrance of Christ in our world. So thank you.